He was the most sympathetic brother, ready to serve them. To his spiritual masters, his older God brothers, and his teachers, he treated them, honored them, and served them just as he served the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Although Prahlad Maharaj was the son of the King of the Universe, living in all opulences, he had not even a single trace of false pride. He was totally devoid of all material desires. Narada Muni explains that all the great sages and rishis and devotees will forever glorify the qualities of Prahlad Maharaj. In any assembly where devotees come together to discuss the glories of devotees, Prahlad Maharaj, his qualifications will always be discussed. Yudhisthira Maharaj inquired, why? Why? If he was so gentle, so humble, did his own father want to murder him? Narada Muni explained. Prahlad Maharaj went to school. It was not an ordinary school. It was a special school for the royalty amongst the Rakshasas, with the most qualified teachers. The seminal sons of Shukra Acharya, Sanda and Amarka, they taught in this school the art of politics, how to make friends and exploit everything you can from them, and how to destroy your enemies. But Prahlad Maharaj was very pained and uninterested in all of these subject matters. However, because he was so polite and respectable, his teachers were under the impression that he learned all of their education very, very thoroughly. So wanting to get the favor of Hiranyakashipu, their king, they presented Prahlad Maharaj before his father. Hiranyakashipu was so pleased to see his favorite most son, Prahlad, who at the time was only 5 years old. You parents know, when your child reaches about 5 years old, how attractive everything they do is to your heart. How when they talk and they play and they glance here and there and they eat and they drink and whatever else they do. Very pleasing age. For brahmacharis and sannyasis, 5 years old, that's about the age when we start recognizing them as human species. It's a very, very attractive age. What to speak of Prahlad Maharaj? Hiranyakashipu affectionately brought Prahlad Maharaj to sit on his lap as the king was sitting on the throne. He embraced Prahlad on the throne, smelling his head affectionately. He asked Prahlad Maharaj, oh my dear son, you are going to school. Please tell me, what is the best subject that you have learned? Prahlad Maharaj replied, Sri Prahlad Uvacha, Tatsaru Mange Suravaryadehinam Sadasamudvignadhyam Asadgraha Hitvatma Patam Grihamam Dakupam Vanamgatoya Dharimashrayeta. Prahlad Maharaj replied, O best of the Asuras, O king of the demons. This is flattery to Hiranyakashipu. As far as I have learned from my spiritual master, any person who has accepted a temporary body and temporary household life is certainly embarrassed by anxiety because of having fallen into a dark well where there is no water but only suffering. One should give up this position and go to the forest more clearly. One should go to Vrindavan, where only Krishna consciousness is prevalent, and should thus take shelter of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Hiranyakashipu, very disturbed, began to laugh. He laughed and spoke. His intelligence has been spoiled by our enemies. He looked at Sanda and Amarka. Take him back to school and very carefully protect him from the influence of the Vaishnavas. Sanda and Amarka brought him back to school. They said to Prahlad, oh, best of the sons of the Asuras, oh, most pious and glorious, virtuous Prahlad, please tell us, where did you learn that? Prahlad said that this ignorance that you are teaching of friend and enemy is all an illusion. To discriminate with these dualities of who is friend and who is enemy is the source of all suffering. That Vishnu, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, is situated in every living being's heart, and therefore one should offer all respects to all living beings with love and affection. That will bring about real happiness. That is truth. And as far as me, as a magnet attracts metal particles, I am naturally attracted to the loving service of Lord Vishnu. Prahlad Maharaj was a very bold preacher. Sanda and Amarka were very much disturbed, in great anger. They called out, bring my stick to beat him! They threatened Prahlad Maharaj that your mind has been stolen away by the enemy. Just like a thorn tree grows in the forest, a forest of beautiful, fragrant sandalwood trees. In this forest of auspicious sandalwood trees, there's one thorn tree that grows. And that thorn tree becomes the handle to an axe that cuts down the entire forest of sandalwood trees. Similarly, Vishnu is the handle. Vishnu is the axe. You are the handle. And if you are not corrected from your sinful mentality, you will become the destruction of your entire dynasty. Now you sit and you learn from us. Prahlad very respectfully sat through his classes so nicely that Sanda and Amarka considered him the best student. So they decided to show their great accomplishment to Hiranyakashipu. First they brought Prahlad to his mother. She decorated him with beautiful ornaments and jewelry. Then Sanda and Amarka presented him to the father. Hiranyakashipu saw Prahlad. His heart melted. He lifted Prahlad and put him on his lap. He started smelling his head. Tears were flowing from his eyes due to affection. With his strong arms, he embraced Prahlad again and again. Then he said, oh, Prahlad, how affectionate I am to you. You are so dear. Please, you have been going to school for some time. Tell me, what is the best of knowledge? Shri Prahlad Uvacha. Sravanam Kirtanam Vishno, Smaranam Bhada Sevanam, Archanam Bandhanam Vasyam Satyam Atmanivedanam, Iti Pumsarpita Vishno, Bhaktis Chainavalakshana, Priyeta Bhagavatya Bha, Tanmanye Ditamuttamam. Prahlad Maharaj said, hearing and chanting about the transcendental holy name, form, qualities, paraphernalia, and pastimes of Lord Vishnu, remembering him, serving the lotus feet of the Lord, offering the Lord respectful worship with 16 types of paraphernalia, offering prayers to the Lord, becoming his servant, considering the Lord one best friend, and surrendering everything unto him. In other words, serving the Lord with body, mind, and words. These nine processes are accepted as pure devotional service. One who has dedicated his life to the service of Krishna through these nine methods should be understood to be the most learned person, for he has acquired complete knowledge. Shri Prahlad Maharaj ki! Hiranyakashipu, furious. He looked at Sanda and Amarka and said, you have spoiled my child's life. You are teaching him the philosophy of the enemy. We cannot trust the appearance. You are appearing to be Brahmins and teachers in my school, but you have deceived me. I must punish you. Sanda and Amarka, they said, Hiranyakashipu, do not speak like this. We are Brahmins. We did not teach him these things. Spontaneously, springing from his heart, is this unconditional devotion to Vishnu. We didn't teach him these things. It's just happening. We are the sons of Sukracharya. You should not make any aparads to us. Hiranyakashipu, his eyes burning with rage. He looked toward Prahlad Maharaj. He said, Prahlad, if you did not get this knowledge from your teachers, where did you get it? Shri Prahlad Uvacha. Matirna Krishna Paratasmatova Mitogita Dieti Grahadrutana Adanta Gobira Vishatam Tamishram Punapunas Charvata Charvananam. Prahlad Maharaj replied, because of their uncontrolled senses, persons too addicted to materialistic life make progress toward hellish conditions and repeatedly chew that which has already been chewed. Their inclination toward Krishna are never aroused either by the instructions of others, by their own efforts, or by a combination of both. Nateva duswaratakim hivishnu durashaya ye bahi arthamanina andayatantha upaniyamanas te pishatantriyam urudam nibadaha. Persons who are strongly entrapped by the consciousness of enjoying material life and who have therefore accepted as their leader or guru a similar blind man attached to external sense objects cannot understand that the goal of life is to return home back to Godhead and engage in the service of Lord Vishnu. As blind men, guided by another blind man, miss the right path and fall into a ditch. Materially attached men, led by another materially attached man, are bound by the ropes of fruitive labor, which are made of very strong cords. And they continue again and again in materialistic life, suffering the threefold misery. Naishamatishtava Guru Kramangrim Prasatya Nartha Pagamo Yadartha Mahiya Shampagada Jopi Chekam Niskinshananam Navrinitagava. Prahlad Maharaj spoke to Hiranyakashipu. Unless they smear upon their bodies the dust of the lotus feet of a Vaishnava, completely free from material contaminations, persons very much inclined toward materialistic life cannot be attached to the lotus feet of the Lord, who is glorified for his uncommon activities. Only by becoming Krishna conscious and taking shelter at the lotus feet of the Lord, in this way can one be free from material contamination. Sri Prahlad Maharaj is instructing his father that the only means by which anyone can become Krishna conscious or attract the affection of Lord Krishna is if they bathe themselves in the dust from the feet of the Vaishnavas. That means to humbly accept the position of the menial servant to the great devotees of the Lord. There is no other means. When Hiranyakashipu heard these supreme words of wisdom, he was blinded with anger. He was blinded with such anger, hissing like a snake. He called out with words of terror, "You, Prahlad, you are the killer of my brother. Kill him, Rakshasas. Kill him immediately. He must die." As a medicinal herb is not of the same family as a human being, but because it is beneficial, a human being will take very, very good care of that medicinal herb. But if one's own relative is an envious enemy, then he must be destroyed. Just as if one of the limbs of one's body is carrying a contagious disease, it must be amputated before it causes that disease to spread and kill the entire body. In the same way, Prahlad, although you are my own son, you must die. Rakshasas, by any means possible, destroy him.
These Rakshasas
were not ordinary living beings. They were gigantic, man-eating, powerful demons. They captured Prahlad. First thing they did is they took their huge, pointed tridents and swords, and with all of their strength, they stabbed again and again the body of Prahlad, crying out, "Chop him, pierce him, kill him!" Prahlad Maharaj sat completely peaceful, simply in the trance of remembering Lord Vishnu. He was not concerned with life. He was not concerned with death. He was only concerned with not forgetting Krishna for a moment. Because of his humility and his love, the Supreme Lord protected him in such a miraculous way that although they were stabbing with all their strength, they could not even once pierce his soft, childlike flesh. Next, they brought huge, gigantic, dangerous, man-killing elephants. and ordered them to trample upon little Prahlad with their feet. Prahlad, chanting the holy name of Krishna, was fearless. Krishna, within the heart of the elephant, made them so affectionate toward Prahlad that rather stepping on him, they picked him up and put them on their head. The demons took Prahlad to the ocean. They cast him to the bottom of the depths of the ocean, then took a huge mountain and covered him with it. Prahlad, remembering Krishna by chanting his holy names with humble devotion, the Lord tilted the mountain and personally came and lifted him out of the ocean. They put him in blazing fire. His auntie, Holika, she had benediction that she could not be burned by fire. By Hiranyakashipu's order, she held Prahlad on her lap in a blazing fire for hour after hour after hour after hour, until finally Holika burned into ashes and Prahlad, not even touched by the fire, came walking out. They took him to the top of a huge mountain and threw him off. But the Supreme Lord Vishnu personally arranged for him to be rescued. He caught Prahlad and brought him to safety. They threw him into a pit of enormous, deadly, poisonous snakes. But the snakes, who all have Krishna within their heart, they could not even bite Prahlad. They felt too much affection for him. They threw gigantic stones on him, but they didn't harm even a limb of his body. Mystic spells. They started shooting all these mystic spells through mantras and tantras and yantras. But Prahlad Maharaj just continued thinking about Krishna and chanting his holy name.
Krishna! 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 Hare! Hare Rama! Hare Rama! Rama Rama! Hare Hare!
They starved Prahlad Maharaj. No food, no water. But just by remembering Krishna and chanting his name, he was fully nourished. They subjected him to heat and cold. But Krishna kept him warm and kept him cool. He could not be destroyed. Hiranyakashipu was going crazy in fear. His mind was so agitated. He said, "I cannot kill him. He has unlimited potencies." If I don't kill him, then I will be killed due to my offenses against him. Or maybe I won't be killed. In this way, Hiranyakashipu was so morose. He lost all of his luster. He just looked down at the ground. He was in a state of utter fear and lamentation because he could not destroy his son. Chanda and Amarka approached Hiranyakashipu. They said, "Hiranyakashipu, why are you taking this little 5-year-old boy so seriously? He's just a child. What harm can he do to you? He's a little mixed up, but don't worry about it. We'll take him back to our school, and we'll train him up very nicely. Just give us some more time." So Hiranyakashipu said, "Yes,
yes, you bring him back."
So they brought little Prahlad back to school. They taught their lessons, and at the time of the break, the children were about to play. But Prahlad Maharaj He was not attracted to play. He was a different type of a personality. He spoke to the children that, "You are so young. This is the age for Krishna consciousness. Not when you become older. At every age, you should understand that from the very beginning of life, you should utilize this rare human form for its real purpose. The real purpose of life is to develop devotion to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Don't think that because you're children, you have time to waste. The general lifespan of a human being is 100 years. To one who is too much attached to material enjoyment, who is uncontrolled in his mind and senses, that person sleeps practically 12 hours a night. That means 50 years of his life is lost in sleep." Srila Prabhupada in purport explains, "Or perhaps if you don't sleep that much, 30 years of your life is lost in sleeping. The first 10 years of life, as a little child, you're utterly bewildered if you're attached to the material platform of life. The next 10 years are wasted just enjoying all kinds of play and sports and mundane education. That means 20 years of your childhood are wasted. And when you become old, the last 20 years of your life are wasted in invalidity. The remaining portion of the life of such a person whose mind and senses are uncontrolled is completely immersed in attachment to one's family members, in a mood of lust and illusion. In order to maintain that lust and illusion, he has to have money. He is bound by the ropes of material entanglement, and for such a person, money is sweeter than honey. He'll risk his life. He'll do anything somehow or other to get money. His whole life is focused around money. Although such a person wastes his entire life, which is so valuable, he will not even waste one farthing or one paisa due to mismanagement. He'll be very, very careful that that does not happen. Although he's suffering again and again and again, such a foolish person gains no distaste for material life. He becomes a plaything in the hands of the opposite sex. In his material illusion, trying to perpetually enjoy, he surrounds himself by children, grandchildren, great-grandchildren, shackled by the Maya's ropes, trying to enjoy again and again in this environment. My dear friends, please keep away from such fallen materialistic people. Take shelter of the Supreme Personality of Godhead as your only goal of life. For one who takes shelter of Krishna, there is no impediments to spiritual advancement. Whether one is man or woman, old or young child, whatever nationality, whatever race, whatever caste, anyone who takes shelter of Krishna will get his mercy and achieve the goal of life. The Supreme Lord is merciful to all. My dear friends, all of your actions, perform them for the single purpose of satisfying Krishna. And be kind to all living beings. Artha, Dhamma, Kama, Moksha. These religious principles are all external. Surrender to Krishna is the only transcendental process that will bring you relief from material miseries. Through that, transcendental love will awaken in your heart. Krishna originally spoke this knowledge that I am giving to you. That knowledge descended through this parampara. And Narada Muni personally instructed me. The classmates of Prahlad inquired, "How is this possible? Where did you ever meet this Narada Muni? We're all from the same environment. We're not allowed to see anybody except Rakshasas. There's in our school, in our homes, we're completely isolated and protected from any influence of anyone except the Rakshasas. And you're living in the ultra-protected environment of the palace of Hiranyakashipu. Please tell us, where did you hear from this Narada Muni? How is this possible?" Prahlad Maharaj explained that when my father, Hiranyakashipu, went to Mandarachala mountain to perform his tapasya for 100 celestial years, knowing that he was gone, the demigods attacked. They defeated the armies of the demons. They came to the palace of Hiranyakashipu, who plundered it all. Then they kidnapped my mother, Kayadu, when I was within her womb. As they were tearing her away from the palace, she was crying like a bird that was taken away by a hawk. At that time, Narada Muni appeared. Narada Muni said, "Why are you taking away and causing pain to an innocent woman? This is against all religious principles." Indra and the demigods replied that we will not harm this woman, even though she's Hiranyakashipu's favorite wife. But within her womb, she is bearing the seed of Hiranyakashipu. When he is born, we will destroy him. Narada Muni told them that this child is not a demon. This child is a spotless, unconditional devotee of Lord Vishnu. He is a Mahabhagavat, great Vaishnava. It will be impossible for you to kill him. When the demigods heard this, having complete faith in this great representative of Guru Parampara, Sri Narada Rishi, they bowed down to the child within the womb of the mother and then circumambulated him with great respect. Prahlad Maharaj explained to his friends that Narada Muni took my mother back to his own hermitage in the forest to protect her until I was born, and until Hiranyakashipu came back from his tapasya. My mother was so grateful to him that she served him like a menial servant with great, great devotion. Narada Muni instructed my mother in the sacred principles of Bhagavad Dharma. By his blessings, I was able to hear and remember every word that he spoke. When my mother went back to the palace, due to the association of Hiranyakashipu, she forgot everything Narada Muni spoke. However, I have remembered everything by his mercy. And these words I am speaking to you. Just as a geologist knows the science of how to detect gold from the various parts of the earth, similarly, a wise person always is searching to understand and see the soul within everyone. The soul is the true life force, the true enjoyer within everyone's heart. earth, water, fire, air, ether, mind, intelligence, and ego, these eight gross and subtle elements, the three modes of material nature, the 16 types of transformations, the soul is the witness within all of these things. Within material life, one's intelligence has three states: wakefulness, dreaming, and deep sleep. Who is the witness that perceives these three states of consciousness? It is the Paramatma, the Super Soul. That Super Soul is within everyone's heart. To understand the Super Soul is the real purpose of life. Now, the soul is like in a dream state, thinking he is this body, thinking he is this enjoyer. And in this way, the soul is embarrassed by so many painful situations. My dear friends, your only duty in life is to become Krishna conscious. You should accept a bona fide spiritual master. Inquire from him submissively. Render humble service to him. In the association of devotees, worship the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Always remember the Paramatma in everyone's heart, and therefore respect every living being. Through this process, you will cut the six enemies that are within your heart: lust, anger, envy, pride, greed, and illusion. When those six enemies are destroyed, by hearing and chanting the glories of the Lord, then transcendental love of God will awaken in your life. That is the ultimate perfection. The children, they became convinced followers of Prahlad. When Shanda and Amarka came back into the classroom and he saw an entire classroom of pure Vaishnavas, they were uncontrollably enraged. They took Prahlad and they very, very abruptly brought him directly to the throne of Hiranyakashipu. They reported everything to the king. When Hiranyakashipu heard this, he was outrageously furious. He hissed like a snake that was just trampled by someone's foot. Meanwhile, Prahlad was completely peaceful. In respect and humility, as his father was going mad with anger, Prahlad stood before him with folded palms, offering him his respect. This made Hiranyakashipu even more angry. In a thunderous voice, he began to chastise Prahlad. He said, "Prahlad, you are impudent. You are the lowest of mankind. You are a rascal. You are a fool. You have violated my power to rule over you." Prahlad, by whose power does a rascal like you overstep my power to rule you? Prahlad Maharaj, with great humility, spoke, "My dear father, all power comes from the same source. My power, your power, everyone's power, it all comes from Lord Vishnu, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He is the controller of time. He is the controller of the three modes of material nature. He is the creator, maintainer, and annihilator of everything that exists. All power comes only from Him. My dear Father, your only enemy is your uncontrolled mind and senses. When you learn to see everyone with equal vision, then you will be able to perfectly worship Lord Vishnu.
Hiranyakashipu
exploded.
You rascal! You speak as if you are superior to me? You are taking a position of my superior? Today, I will sever your head. You are speaking as a man about to die. At this very moment, Pramod, you will die in my hands. Now I will sever your head. Hiranyakashipu picked up his sword, came off of his throne. He said to Pralad, Pralad, you talk about your God? Where is your God? Is he in this pillar? Pralad Maharaj said, my Lord is everywhere. He is also in this pillar. He drew his sword. He came to chop off the head of Pralad. On the way, in great anger, with his fist, he smashed the pillar. To everyone's shocking astonishment, an unbearably loud, shrilling sound emanated from the pillar. Everyone was shocked. They were looking this way, that way. Where is that sound coming from? They had never heard a sound like this ever before. Then, to prove the words of Pralad Maharaj to be true, the Supreme Personality of Godhead appeared from within that pillar. From the pillar, incarnated a most wonderful form that has never, ever been seen before. Shri Narasimha Dev Bhagavan Ki. He was half man, half lion. And in great anger, he roared. Hiranyakashipu was staring at this form. He had never seen anything like this. He studied. Hiranyakashipu studied the form that stood before him. How did Narsingadev appear? His eyes were angry like molten gold. His shining mane expanded in all directions, scattering the clouds. His fearful face, his teeth were deadly. He had a razor-sharp tongue that was moving about like a dueling sword. His ears were erect and motionless. His nostrils and his gaping mouth looked like gigantic mountain caves. His body touched the sky. His neck was short and thick, chest broad, waist thin. His body hairs were white like the moonshine.
His arms were like flanks of soldiers moving in all directions. His arms were holding weapons like the conch shell, the disc, the lotus flower, and the club, and many, many other weapons was in his thousands of arms. Hiranyakashipu looked upon this form and thought, "This is my enemy, Vishnu. He has come to kill me. But what is the use? No one can defeat me. I am undefeatable. I will destroy him." Hiranyakashipu then picked up his club and attacked the form of Lord Narahari. Just as an insect enthusiastically flies into a blazing fire. Due to the effulgence of Hiranyakashipu, no one could even see Hiranyakashipu anymore. Due to the effulgence of Lord Narsinghadev, he started beating Narasimhadev with his club again and again and again. With his hands, Lord Narsinghadev captured Hiranyakashipu. Then he, just like Garuda, sometimes grabs a snake and then lets him go. Being released by Narsinghadev, Hiranyakashipu got this false illusion that Narsinghadev is afraid of him, that he has no power to contain him, that he's on the verge of defeat. This is the Lord's inconceivable potency, that he can put an illusion soul into such a state of bewilderment due to false ego. Hiranyakashipu rested for a few moments, then picked up his sword and his shield. Again, he attacked Lord Narsinghadev. Lord Narsinghadev shrilled with laughter. This laughter was so loud, so mysterious, so powerful, that it caused so much fear in Hiranyakashipu, just hearing the laughter of the Lord, that like a fast hawk, he began to move into the sky and to the earth at different places, ready to attack the Lord again. The Lord's form was so fearful that Hiranyakashipu could not even look at it. But with his sharpened sword, he attacked. Lord Narsinghadev, with his all-powerful hands, he captured Hiranyakashipu. Just as a snake captures a mouse, or as Garuda captures a venomous serpent. Hiranyakashipu was trying like anything to get out of the grips of Narasimhadev, but he couldn't get out. He was terribly, terribly afflicted by this helpless condition of being controlled by someone else. In the almighty hands of Lord Narsinghadev, Hiranyakashipu was moving every one of his limbs up and down, this way and that way and all around, flapping and flopping all directions. He was helpless. Lord Narasimhadev then placed Hiranyakashipu upon his lap, supporting him with his all-beautiful thighs. Sitting in the doorway of the assembly hall, Lord Narasimhadev, with his nails, easily tore Hiranyakashipu to pieces. Shri Narasimhadev Bhagavan Ki. He was so angry
His frightful eyes were impossible to look at. He was sprinkled by the blood of Hiranyakashipu. With his mighty hands, he uprooted Hiranyakashipu's heart and threw it down. He decorated his body with the intestines that he had taken from Hiranyakashipu's abdomen. Then, like a piece of dirt, he just threw the dead corpse of the king of the demons off to the side and turned to the thousands and thousands and thousands of Rakshasa soldiers who were attacking him. With the very tips of his nails, he killed them all. Should I go on? Lord Narasingadev's head shook the clouds. His eyes stole the illumination of the sun and the moon. His breathing agitated the seas and the oceans. His roaring caused every elephant in the world to cry in fear. The pressure of his feet made the earth imbalanced. That pressure of his lotus feet was so great that hills and mountains started springing up from the earth. Lord Narasingadev then sat on the throne of Hiranyakashipu. As he sat there in his Ugra Narasingha Swarup, no one could come forward to approach him. From a distance away, the wives of the demigods showered flowers upon his head. Then the various rishis, demigods, began to offer prayers to Lord Narasingadev from a distance. Wonderful prayers. Brahma prayed that you are the creator and annihilator of anything. Now you have incarnated in this wonderful form to kill the demon Hiranyakashipu. Lord Shiva prayed that this type of anger only is meant to be at the end of the manifestation of the cosmic creation. Now Hiranyakashipu is dead. But Prahlad is standing here very peacefully on the side. Please be peaceful and give him your mercy. The Prajapatis prayed that thank you for killing Hiranyakashipu. He would not allow us to procreate. The rishis said he would not allow any sacrifices. The denizens of Pitraloka, they prayed that Hiranyakashipu, all Shraddha and all Pinda, he was accepting all the offerings only for himself. None of the forefathers were getting anything. The Manus, they said that he completely destroyed all the laws of Manu. The Gandharvas, they prayed that Hiranyakashipu, he forced us to only dance and sing for him. But now that he is dead, now we can all perform our proper duties again. Then the residents of Vaikuntha came down. And they said, we are so blissful to see this most wonderful form of Lord Narasingadev. And we're so happy to see how you gave such special mercy to our old associate, Jai. But no one could approach the Lord. Even Brahma and Shiva were too much afraid to even look at this Ugra Narasingha form. So they asked Lakshmi, the consort of the Lord, please pacify your husband. When Lakshmi saw the terrible, fearful, angry form of Sri Narasingha Bhagavan, she said,
that I have never seen him in this mood before. I dare not approach him.
Then Lord Brahma turned to Prahlad and said, Prahlad, he is in this angry mood because of the offenses that your father caused to you. Please, you go and pacify him. Prahlad Maharaj gradually approached Lord Narasimhadeva. He offered his prostrated obeisances at the lotus feet of the Lord. When Sri Narahari saw this tiny little boy bowing down at his feet, his heart melted. Lord Narasimhadev became ecstatic. He placed his lotus palm on Prahlad Maharaj's head. Immediately, Prahlad Maharaj became completely purified. Little Prahlad fixed his mind, his senses, and his entire consciousness on this beautiful form of Lord Narasimhadeva. With a faltering voice, he offered beautiful prayers of love. Prahlad Maharaj said, how is it possible for me to pacify you with prayers? I am coming from an atheistic family of demons. I have no good qualities at all. I'm a materialistic person. Even Brahma, Shiva, the greatest sages and demigods, they could not pacify you with all of their excellently composed prayers. What can a small, insignificant person like me do by offering my prayers? But my Lord, no material opulences can attract you. Even if a person has all knowledge, all wealth, all strength, he cannot approach you. Only one who has sincere devotion can approach you. Gajendra the elephant, what did he have? But because he prayed with sincere devotion, he received your causeless mercy. If a Brahmin has all the 12 qualities of Brahmanhood, if he does not have devotion, he cannot please you. But even a dog eater, a person of the lowest outcast, if he prays to you sincerely, he can receive your complete mercy. The Lord accepts the offerings of his devotees only to benefit his devotees. You have appeared in this very angry form, my Lord. But now you can give up that anger because Hiranyakashipu is dead. It is said that great saintly persons take pleasure in seeing a snake or a scorpion killed. Now, the whole world is jubilant to see the death of this snake, Hiranyakashipu. So please, my Lord, give up your anger. In this material world, due to forgetfulness of you, there are so many miseries. But foolish persons, entangled by the three modes of material nature, they create remedies for these miseries. However, their remedies are more miserable than the original miseries. That is the way you have created this world. Thus, I understand, the only remedy for the miseries of material existence is to take shelter of your lotus feet, my dear Lord. People want a long duration of life. They want opulence and enjoyment. But I have seen
through the experience of my father, that he had all opulences, strength, power. When he would move his eyebrows, even the greatest of the demigods would come with folded hands to serve him. His anger, even the gods would tremble in fear. He had everything. But yet, he was vanquished in a moment by you, my lord. I have seen that any arrangement in this world will only end in devastation if one does not take shelter of your lotus feet. This is the lesson I learned from my father, Hiranyakashipu. I am not afraid of this material existence. Why? Because I am always absorbed in remembering you, my lord, in the core of my heart. My only concern is for the fools and rascals who are making plan after plan after plan to try to enjoy material existence and have to suffer birth after birth after birth. By the sweet and loving prayers of Prahlad, Narsingadev's heart melted. He gave up his anger, his Ugra Narasingha Swarup, and became pacified. Narasingadev spoke to Prahlad. It is my pastime that for such a devotee as you, who has given his life fearlessly to remember me in every situation, and always be my faithful servant to give benediction. Please ask me for any benediction. I can give you long duration of life or anything you desire. Prahlad Maharaj was very embarrassed to hear the Lord say this. He considered material benedictions to be an obstacle to his devotional service. He spoke to Lord Narasingadev that I was born in an atheistic demoniac family. Therefore, I have a tendency for all of these materialistic things. Please, my Lord, do not tempt me by offering them to me. I am your devotee, your servant. Whatever worship is only for your pleasure. If I desire anything in return, then I am not a devotee. I am like a merchant who is giving with the expectation of something for his own selfish purpose in return. I am your eternal servant. A real servant desires nothing but more service from his master. And you are my eternal master. But, my Lord, if really you want to give me a benediction, then please grant me this one benediction. That in the core of my heart, there will never be any material desires. Lord Narsingadev, heart melted by the sweet, pure devotion of Prahlad, he said that, Prahlad, devotees like you have no material desires. However, I order you to enjoy the opulences and the wealth of the kingdom of the Asuras. It is my order that you sit on the throne and be the king of the Asura dynasty until the end of the duration of the present Manu. Prahlad Maharaj
Because you are always remembering me, you will always be protected from material desires. Do not be afraid to do this service in this material world. I will protect you. Just always remember me. Hear my glories and chant my holy
name.
Prahlad Maharaj, upon hearing this order from his father, with folded palms and great humility, addressed the Lord. My dear Lord Narsingha Bhagavan, because you are very merciful, I pray to you to kindly grant me one more benediction. My father, Hiranyakashipu, was such a malicious demon. He was envious. He continuously blasphemed you. And he committed so many sinful activities against me, your devotee. I pray at your lotus feet, my Lord, please, kindly, excuse him for his sinful actions. Shri Narasingha Bhagavan told Prahlad that your father, Hiranyakashipu, is already purified, along with 21 generations of your forefathers. Your entire dynasty has become purified. Srila Prabhupada explains that when one becomes a pure devotee of the Lord, 21 generations of all one's forefathers become purified and liberated from material life. Prabhupada says 21 generations means in your past life, you had different parents and different relatives. They're all purified. And in the life before that, you had different relatives and they're all purified. What to speak of your present? So if you really love your family members and all your relationships, the greatest, most merciful thing that you can do for them is become a pure devotee, by never giving up devotional service and the chanting of the holy name. Lord Nrsingadev then ordered Prahlad to perform the Shraddha ceremony for his father, and then accept the throne of the kingdom of the Asuras. Lord Brahma then offered prayers to Lord Narasingadev. Lord Narasingadev told Lord Brahma that it is very dangerous to give milk to a serpent. Similarly, Brahma, you should no longer give benedictions to demons like this. After speaking these words, Lord Brahma and all the devatas, rishis, sages, and Prahlad worshipped Lord Narasingadev. Then he disappeared to return to his eternal abode. Brahma and Sukracharya then coronated Prahlad Maharaj as the king. Prahlad Maharaj worshipped all the devotees present. One who with great attention hears this narration Narada Muni said, will surely reach the spiritual world where there are no material anxieties. Thank you very much. I'm sorry for taking so long, but Hare Krishna. Namaste Narasimhaya.
Jai Jagadish Hare Krishna. Narsingadev ki. Rama Narsingadev Ravan ki. Rama Narsingadev ki. Jyada Narsingadev ki. Jithai Gautramanam. Jila Prabhupada ki. Anam Sri Gopi Vaishnava Vrinda ki. Jithai Gautramanam. Vamsha Kalpa Prabhupada Kripa-sindhu-ye-vacha Patitha-nam-tha-vani-vyo-vaishnave-vyo-namo.
June 8, 1999, devotees were still at Ahovalam. After an ecstatic kirtan, His Holiness Radhanath Maharaj spoke again from the Srimad Bhagavatam, speaking the glories of Prahlad Maharaj.
Krishna, Krishna. Krishna Hare Hare, Hare Rama Hare Rama, Rama Rama Hare Hare,
Hare Krishna Hare Krishna, Krishna Hare Hare, Hare Rama Hare Rama, Rama Rama Hare Hare,
Hare Krishna Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna Hare Hare, Hare Rama Hare Rama, Rama Rama Hare Hare,
Hare Krishna Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna Hare Hare, Hare Rama Hare Rama, Rama Rama Hare Hare,
Hare Krishna Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna Hare Hare,
Thank you.
Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare.
Thank you. Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Sri Vasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrindavan.